carbs are bad for you, fats are bad for you. I feel like I've heard that so much, and that is just totally not the case.
Time under tension is driving metabolite accumulation.
I look like Spider-Man, I feel like shit. Come on, Chase, finish it.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Strength 101.
Oh, I thought you were just rolling.
Introducing Rio, by the way. We got little Rio. If you are watching the video version anyways, we got the little kitty cat with us. I'm Matresa.
And I'm Nick.
And we are here to talk about weight loss 101. Just everything's me 101 in this. Nick,
yeah.
What would you say is the most important thing for weight loss?
Oh, it's a calorie deficit. Mm. You can't do it without it.
Well, why don't we explain what is a calorie deficit?
Yeah, so I think the first place to start whenever you're talking about weight loss is you have to start with calories. And so the first thing to understand about weight loss is that, you know, the body is a machine. It runs off of fuel, and weight loss is very much an energy in, energy out model. So calories just refer to the amount of energy that is in our food. So that's just how we measure the energy that we use by the human body, and it's also how we measure the energy in food. And so if I had a banana in front of us, and I said that it has 100 calories in it, that's just 100 of units of energy that my body can use to make myself move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the hardest part for people, because like there's just so much information out there. It gets really confusing. And I know that you know this obviously through our body composition program, but the best thing you can do is just keep everything simple. So if you can just remember that a calorie is just a measure of energy, and there's nothing good about it, there's nothing bad about it, it's just literally what fuels your body, then that's the first place to start. And if we eat too many calories, then our body is going to store that energy. Very efficient at storing energy. Our body does not love wasting energy. And so if I eat way too much energy, then it's going to store it as body fat on my body. And if I do not eat enough energy to fuel my body's daily needs, then my body is going to eat those fat stores to give myself enough energy to move around and live. And so that model is very simple. I know I rushed through that, but we can obviously go more in depth about that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's great. Like, that's a great quick explanation on that. I would say, like, too often you hear, especially on social media, that, carbs are bad for you, fats are bad for you. I feel like I've heard that so much. And that is just totally not the case. Like, how do you function without these items, right? I mean,
yeah.
Fats you need for your hormones, carbs are for glucose, right? Keeps your brain moving, keeps your body moving, everything. Like, these are necessities that we need in our daily intake. So I would say the biggest thing is people think that it's so restrictive, and people do these diets that are so restrictive as well, and like they're not sustainable, right?
Yep.
So we have our body composition program with that, and the two things we focus on with that is calories and protein, right? So with that, I mean, as you were talking about knowing your calories, like tracking your food is huge. I feel like a lot of people don't track their food or really know where to start on that, right?
Yep.
Calorie countering app is super important with that. We can put
totally.
In your protein, put in your calories, and glide from there.
Yeah, totally. I think it's, especially if we pull it back just a little bit, it's really important for every single person out that's listening right now to realize that whatever diet you've heard of that's been effective for somebody, whether that's the ketogenic diet or Weight Watchers or Paleo or Atkins or, you know, name whichever one, all these are just different variations that are trying to in some ways convince you, in other ways just trick you to get into a calorie deficit, which without actually calling it what it is. What we've done different with the body composition program is just keep it as simple and straightforward and not treat people like they're freaking stupid, right?
Yep.
That's what I think a lot of these diets are. They're just like, okay, you clearly can't control yourself, so you need to make some crazy rule like you never can eat carbs or sugar again.
Mm-hmm.
And then by not eating that and overindulging in it, you're bringing down your total calories that you eat on a daily basis, and then you drop weight. But that's also the reason that those diets don't work for some people, because if you, let's say I tell you, Matresa, never eat sugar again, never eat carbs again, and you actually adhere to that, like there's a really good chance that at some point your body, like you're gonna need more energy, and you're gonna find that through fats and protein.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, if they do those diets, they just double down on those other forms, and if their calories exceed what they burn on a daily basis, it makes no effect.
Mm-hmm.
On their bodies. And so I think that's been the biggest key to the success that we've seen in our weight loss program, is that we actually just tell people like, hey, this is actually how it is. Here's like the only two or three things that you need to worry about to make it effective. And
For
let's
sure.
actually, let's actually be adults about this and make some changes. instead of telling ourselves that I have to have a certain amount of colored foods and all that nonsense.
For sure. For sure.
Which is, and I mean, you've had experience with other types of diets and stuff in the past, like.
My last job, I think I might have talked about this a little bit in the last podcast, but very lightly, but the worked at a weight loss facility before Strength Academy, and that's where I think I really got into the nutrition side, and then like realizing of how backwards all of these places are, and they're not cheap either to be putting money into, and you're not getting the results you want. Yeah, you might for, you know, a month or whatever it might be, but you're just gonna yo-yo back to where you were because they're not sustainable and they're not a proper way to fuel your body, right? Yeah. I mean, you're not learning anything from it. As you said, they treat you like you're dumb and they give you like protein bars and shakes and whatever. Be like, hey, this is like a sustainable way to eat. Like, no, it's not. So learning the right way to be able to fuel yourself and making it more simple. Like,
so saying, when you were at Profile and somebody would come in, like you being the practitioner, I know that you're talking them through a lot of different things, but like the messaging from the company, what did they understand what they were doing, or was it very much just like, don't ask questions, here's your plan?
Yeah, essentially that. Like it was like they literally what you'd give people that came in is like they you had this food plan for them. They had three different stages that they'd go through. First stage was you eat a protein bar, a protein shake for breakfast. You have a protein bar for a snack. You have a protein shake for lunch. You have a bar for a mid-afternoon snack, and then dinner is where you get to have your normal meal, which was we'd make them have like a vegetable, protein, and then that was it. I don't think there was actually carbs in it either now that I think about it. Maybe there was, but otherwise it was just like the protein. So like they only got like one real meal a day. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like as you went on through your...
Did you guys talk to them about calories at all?
No.
No?
No.
Never? It was like... What about the messaging from like management down? Were they like, don't even mention it, or was it just not?
It was
even
just
a
never even talked about.
System? Okay,
no, nope, it ridiculous. Was just like you need to follow exactly like what we're giving, like, and they just it was like a check off for them to make sure they get all their food in and stuff. Like that's all it was.
That's like being in charge of somebody's finances, and then you're like, but I don't talk about money. Mm-hmm. Like what? I don't talk about budget. I don't talk about money. But
For sure,
I'm gonna be in charge of your finances. It's just that's literally that little of sense to it.
And like I'd say, like the worst part of it is that I learned is like we would reach out to people that program prior.
Salute.
That did the like that came to Profile and did the program prior. Uh-huh. You would reach out to people to get them back in because the business knew what they were doing, right? Yeah. They knew that it wasn't sustainable, so you'd continue to get these people back in, being like, "Oh crap, I fell off." Well, no, you didn't fall off. We just never gave you anything that was sustainable to begin with.
Was it all like Profiles? And Profiles not the one we're picking on. Like there's tons of different places like this that follow that same model. But was it like their specific bars and shakes too?
Yes. Yep. You had to spend. And it was so expensive. Like I'm like, there's no way.
So even then, like let's say somebody, what's the most weight you saw somebody lose there? Because I'm sure people lost weight.
Yeah. Oh man, I can't say I fully remember, but I would say probably like the most I saw was probably 40 pounds, honestly.
Okay.
So
pretty
like
good.
A
not
lot.
As good as ours, but whatever. So 40 pounds. So somebody loses 40 pounds, and then as soon as they decide they're not paying for that program anymore, not only do they not have access to the bars and shakes that was making it work.
Well, they could.
Or they could.
They could get it, but like you got it at a more expensive price.
Oh,
since
of course.
You weren't a part of the program.
Congratulations on your success. Give us more money and we'll give you the same product.
Yep, okay. For sure.
Fair. Yeah, just and it's that just doesn't make any sense. Or at least, you know, those programs work to lose the weight, but it's like you said, it's just going to be cyclical of people getting back into it because as soon as you're done with a system like that, one, you have so much fatigue from being restricted that you just like you're probably craving an Oreo milkshake and thinking about it constantly.
For sure.
But then you get off of that, and if you've been given no direction on actually how to do this in your day-to-day life, then of course you're just going to go back to whatever habits you were doing before, which are likely the ones that stacked the weight on in the first place.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
And I feel like that's like the part where like the awareness is key, right? Like I feel like we're not aware enough of even like getting on the scale every day. That's like a piece that we put into the body composition program where you have to weigh every day. And for a lot of people that sounds scary, and sure, it totally can be, but it's just a data point to be able to see how your body's changing, right?
Yep.
And it's different for everybody. Like, you can, like your body's supposed to fluctuate. That's like the beauty of your body. So being aware of that and of course the food that you're taking in. And then along with that, like simply just being consistent and patient with it, right? Because I would say you see so often people say, well, it worked so well for them, but it didn't for me. okay, well, how long have they been doing it versus you, right? Yeah. Like, if you've been on your game for 2 weeks and you're mad because you're not like that other person that's been doing it for a year or yep. more, you know? Like, you can yep. never compare your progress to someone's 10 years of progress that you have no idea it's taken them 10 years.
Totally.
Versus yours that you just got into this.
Yeah.
You know, you
That'd
can never.
Be like me going out and trying to, like, dunk right now and being like, well, I, you know, do it for 2 weeks and be like, why don't I dunk like MJ?
Yeah, it's yeah, like, for well, sure. That's,
there's a lot of reasons, but yeah. you know, one of them is he had way more practice than I did.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But you, so what you went through right there, I think is a good place for us to really get into this in the nitty gritty. And today, what we really want to give you guys is these are the steps that we actually take people through for our body composition program. I don't know if you know the numbers off the top of your head, but do you know, man, I can't remember. We just calculated recently how much total we had lost since the program started. Do you remember what that number was? It was over 1,000.
It was well over 1,000 pounds for sure.
We have it in that ad too.
I don't remember, but for now, just know that we've helped people, especially in the area that we're in of River Falls, lose over 1,000 pounds, well over.
And there's been, at this point, multiple people, definitely many people who have been above the 50-pound weight loss mark, and at least a couple now who have been 80 plus. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking like the Eric King, I shouldn't say names on here, I guess, but the EK and the TG and
yeah,
you know that.
For sure.
But we probably have those guys on at some point. So yeah, let's start with the beginning of where we start. So you mentioned the first thing, like the number one thing, the first thing that you do, if you're like, okay, tomorrow I want to lose weight and I'm going to use Matresa and Nick's guide to do so, then the first thing you need to know is you need to know how much energy your body needs every single day to function. Mm-hmm. How do we do that?
We calculate it.
Yep.
As you calculate that, like, so first, getting into the nitty gritty on that part even, like.
Yeah, like what contributes to it?
Let's start there. Yep, so what contributes to that is it's gonna be your height, your weight, your age, your gender, your activity level. For example, with that, like I think another thing that gets confusing is it is very unique to each and every person. Like the calories that Nick needs to take to lose weight is not the same that like I need to take in to lose weight. So
drastically different. Like what do you lose weight at when you're cutting? Just as a frame of reference for everybody.
Yeah, right now 1600.
1600 calories and you'll lose weight. And if I eat consistently 3200 calories, I would argue I probably will lose weight at 3,500, but 3,200, the needle starts moving pretty fast.
Yeah.
And so that's drastically different. And guess what? If you're out there being like, that's not fair, you're right. It's not fair. Like, let's get over that point right away.
Yeah.
It's not fair that I get to eat 32 and she has to eat 1,600. And guess what? If you're like a 5'1" female and you have done no significant weight training in your life, you're probably looking at like 1,000, 1,100 calories to really lose weight. And that's not, it's not that you're going to starve and it's not that it's unfair. It just is, that's the science of this situation. And that's what we try to keep it to.
For sure.
So like you said, you know, your height, we'll talk about weight a little bit. I think that's one where we can pull it apart. But like your height, your gender, the biggest contributor though to what your metabolic rate is, so how many calories your body uses up every single day, is your lean body mass, mm-hmm. which basically for the layman out there, it just means how much muscle do you have on your bones. That's going to be the biggest driver of why I can eat more than Matresa can, is muscle eats calories. Muscle burns fuel like crazy. Our fat stores are very passive when it comes to that, so fat stores do not contribute heavily to our total caloric need in a day. But muscle does. And so because I've lifted for, you know, a couple decades almost at this point, and I have significant muscle mass on my bones, even somebody who was the same height as me, the same age as me, I have a buddy who doesn't live too far from here, Tyler, and he is the same height as me, same age as me. We did most of the same sports. And then for the last, you know, probably 15 years, I've been lifting and he hasn't. And so he probably, you know, for him to lose weight, he might have to eat 1,000 less calories than me at this point because of the difference in muscle mass alone.
For sure.
Which is one of the reasons we're so big on strength training, is that's really the only thing that is actually in your control that you can push up your ability to eat more food and lose weight.
So more muscle. If you have more muscle, you can eat more food. Like, how nice does that sound?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a long-term strategy, but man, does it pay off, because I can eat a whole lot of food now without stacking on a bunch of fat.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And then you had mentioned we calculate this. So yes, when we do our body composition program, we go in and we calculate this. And these are, you can find calculators anywhere nowadays.
Yeah.
They're all over the place, but there's a couple things you really have to watch out for. So if you're really wanting to get into the nitty gritty, then what you should look up is the Harris-Benedict equation. That's the equation that we use to calculate. I'm not even sure if I've ever told you that. But
no, I do know. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the equation that runs behind our calculator. But then, I don't know, why don't you talk about when we do that calculator, what are the areas that people kind of screw up the most? Like we see it all the time. So we use the Lose It app for people to track their food in. And if somebody inputs their own information into the Lose It app and it assigns them a calorie goal for weight loss versus if we calculate it and we get a different number, what are the differences there?
Yeah, I would say like the first thing for sure is absolutely it's exercise. A lot of us like overestimate how much exercise we're getting in every day.
Yeah.
So when we send out like a questionnaire for our own numbers and body comp, and then we have them let us know like how often they're working out, because they're absolutely have to work out 3 times a week. Okay, sorry. So I 3 times a week here, and then if they want to add anything more, then they're adding that into like what they expect that they're actual activity level is. So if you use like Lose It, for example, which is what we use to track, that will estimate for you as well. But a lot of times that overestimates your exercise, and then it will add your exercise in when you're tracking your food. So with that, if you're already in a calorie deficit, if you are adding in your extra exercise, you're not in a calorie deficit anymore, because it's giving you an extra 500 calories because your Apple Watch said you burned 500 calories. Which, mind you, probably a topic for a different time. Those are not super accurate. But what I'm saying, the point of this, do not eat in. not eat more calories than what your deficit is having you eat, okay? So that's what we really main focus on, is the activity level, is what people get really confused on.
Yeah, and I'm just going to like summarize that so I understand it too. But I know that, so in the Lose It app, I think it gives us what options? It's like little to no activity, active, very active, and then maybe even one more that's like hardcore.
Maybe athlete, hardcore, something.
You're David Goggins.
Yeah.
But then like when we assign it, somebody who comes to our gym, if I were to assign myself an activity level and I train 3 times a week in our gym and I train with heavy weights and I train pretty hard, like I train at an intensity level that I don't think everybody matches, I still, at that 3 times a week, on the Lose It app, I think I would only give myself an active, not a very active, because frequency does matter so much. And so people overestimate. They think if they go to 3 times a week, they're like, I'm very active because I also walk. But then when you're putting that in there, it's giving you more calories, and so you're actually working against your own goals.
For sure.
So you have to be careful about that. And then, like you mentioned, it's already taking into account how active you are on a daily basis. But then when you exercise and it tracks it, it gives you even more calories on top of it. And so one of the best things you can do is, you know, calculate it using that equation with your activity involved, and then do not take into account any additional exercise that you do. Just think that's baked into the cake at that point.
Because if anything, if anything, you're just going against your goals, and that's obviously not the point of why you're doing it.
Yeah. And so by using that equation, you know, what we come up with, what it gives us is what we call our basal metabolic rate. And so if you guys decide to go look into this stuff, we'll breeze over this. We'll maybe have a follow-up podcast where we talk more in depth on it.
Yeah.
But it'll give you your basal metabolic rate. And we know that a pound of fat is equivalent to 3,500 calories. And so in order to lose a pound of fat in a given week, we have to be 3,500 calories underneath what our daily need is for the entire week. Sorry, our weekly need. And so what that equates to is if we get our total calories that our body needs via that calculator, then we subtract 500 off of that, and that will give us what we should eat every day if we wanted to lose 1 pound a week. And by that same logic, you can then increase that. If you were to eat 1,000 calories under what the calculator says your body needs, then you can maybe be more aggressive and you can lose 2 pounds a week. But for some people, that's starting to become unrealistic to be able to eat that little amount of calories.
For sure. So, yeah.
If you have margins, you can do it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think, one, adding with that, as you're explaining, of course, like I think a lot of people will be like, oh, well, I can handle the 1,000 calories under. I can totally, I'm going to hit it hard. I'm going to be aggressive because I want to see those results right away. Well, I'm sorry to break it to you, but like this journey that you would like to go on is not a quick fix. And doing that most of the time, unless I bet you maybe you could do it, but most people, it's that's not for the week. And like two, it's not sustainable. Okay. So like the 500 calories like deduction is better for a calorie deficit, in my opinion, only because it's more sustainable. And two, you're not completely killing yourself trying to go through it because like you still want to enjoy your life at least a little bit, right? And something that you're learning better that way too.
Yeah, and you're right. Like I think if I were to do it and I did 1,000, like I could drop weight really fast. But also that's because I've done it before. So it's like I know I'm not going to die. But like if you, this is your first weight loss journey and there's a legitimate fear that people have around like actually feeling hungry. They're like, no, this is bad for it's there's been so much fear mongering, right? It's like, oh, if you're hungry, even like your mom when you're little, right? It's like, you know, oh, like you have a headache, you must need to eat something. It's like the cure to all your woes. but you just know that it, especially if you have significant fat stores on your body, it is not going to hurt you to not eat for a while or even a full day. Or as we know now, some people go full fast for people have done it for up to a year, not eating for an entire year besides water and some nutrients. You can do that and your body will not die until it legitimately runs out of energy, which is more like Survivor, one of those shows where they completely lose all their body fat.
Sure.
I'm rambling now though. Let's go on to the second step. So after you know your caloric need, now we have to know our caloric intake. So how do we do that?
Well,
our daily, what we are intaking,
I mean, essentially, I guess we went over that, right, with the app and tracking, or you want a different piece?
Maybe you
want
to talk about food scaling a little bit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And stuff like that.
Okay, getting into that, which I love this part especially. Sorry. So that a food scale, if you do not have one, I'd recommend that. It's absolutely life-changing. Personally, for me, I know when I started with a food scale, I always thought I was getting in enough protein, like when I'd measure out like ground beef or chicken, for example, I was like, this is for sure the serving size, which is 4 ounces. I'm like, this is for sure 4 ounces. I was always eating at least only 2 ounces, maybe a ounce and a half. So I was extremely under eating protein without realizing. So scale is like super, super life changing on that. Like you'd be able to know that, okay, I'm getting in all my food. Or maybe you might notice you're overdoing it. Like it's one or the other on that, right? But why we use a food scale is still back to that piece of the awareness point. And like there's a bunch of different options where you can track that. Like if you look at a like a nutrition label, it shows like the grams and then the serving size at the top. So it might be 1 ounce or whatever or grams. And there you can use then your food scale to be like, okay, here's the serving because it's 170 grams or whatever it might be. So we use food scales. We always recommend that. And I'd recommend that to anybody listening to this because it is a big game changer.
It is. There's probably nothing more important than be like actually taking this very seriously and not just messing around and guessing. And that's the thing that I think a lot of people do is they just go, oh, I'll just cut back a little bit. Or, you know, I don't eat that much anyway, so I just cut back a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can't manage what you don't measure, right? We say that all the time.
Yes.
And so you have to get very serious about tracking your food and knowing exactly what the heck's going in your mouth every day. And even the things that you think you're putting in your mouth, to your point, you said you underestimated your protein all the time. Mm-hmm. And most people underestimate how much they're eating in protein and overestimate how much they're eating on things that they really like, right?
Yeah,
for sure. If you ever look at the back of a bag of chips, it's like, whatever, 120 calories, and it says like 12 chips.
Yeah.
And you eat 12 chips just thinking about whether you're going to have chips.
Yep.
You know?
Oh,
so you're
absolutely.
Just like way over at that point. And so we're big advocates for don't guess, like measure this stuff. Make sure that you're actually trying to do this. Be really intentional. This isn't something to mess around with. If you really want to lose weight, you need to put all these ducks in a row so that you get some results early on. Because if you do this for 2 weeks and you're just kind of messing around and not really measuring, and then you don't get the results you want, you'll just stop.
Yep.
You know.
And then that you're going to go back into that circle again we talked about earlier of, oh, well, why does it work for them and not for me? Well, you're not taking it seriously and you're also not being aware of what the heck you're doing, right?
So you hit some really good points. You said awareness, you know, awareness is huge. Awareness is half the battle when it comes to tracking. There are plenty of people that start tracking their food and just from the sheer realization that the food that they really like is like double what they would have thought it was, or like you've mentioned, your coffee could be like 300 calories more than you thought it was.
Yes.
Just that awareness and seeing that, all of a sudden people, some people will just start peeling back. Some people won't, but some people will lose weight just from actually having to look at the sheer quantity of food they're actually eating.
For sure. For sure.
So we definitely want to track everything that we're doing. We want to measure the stuff that we are tracking so that we're actually sure. And these are the people that are most successful in our program are meticulous about weighing their food, mm-hmm. and they're meticulous about tracking everything they put in their body. And you might think that's a little bit overkill, a little bit crazy, but they're the ones getting the results. And if you haven't done this and you haven't gotten results and you haven't measured everything out, then I would argue that you're not trying hard enough. Where was I going to go from there? What's our next step here? So we're tracking all our food. We're sure of what's going in our body. We're getting that caloric deficit that we are looking for. We're hitting the calories that were given to us by that calculator. What else do we care about?
I mean, I'd say I kind of went briefly over the scale. I think talking about like weighing yourself is another piece.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That we're in a spot, yep. spot right there. I mean, I guess I kind of went into that a little bit more, but I don't know.
No, I think that's right though. Cause so on the coaching side for us, we talk about this a lot, but I'm saying it more for their benefit. On the coaching side for us, there's like really three data points, maybe four, that we really care about. Like, yes, initially we need to know what your body's burning so that mm-hmm. we can figure out what your calories need to be. We need to know what's going into your body. So that's the tracking part. And that's data for us. And we need to know what your daily scale weight is so that we can see whether or not you're getting results at that level. And then we really care about also knowing what your protein is. And we can get into that in a second. But let's talk about the weighing part first. We're very confident that if we know exactly what's going into your body because you're tracking well and you're measuring what you're tracking, and then we can see every single day what your weight is and we can see the trend of that, me and Matresa both are extremely confident that we can adjust your calories to get you the results you want. Sure. Unfortunately, if we don't have one of those data points, you're either not tracking or you're not weighing yourself daily, it is extremely difficult to make decisions even as a coach. Much less if you're trying to do this on your own.
Yeah, oh, for sure. And it's important of that, because if you'd weigh in every Monday, let's just say just one time a week, let's say you had a nice weekend and maybe you ate a little more over the weekend and then you come on Monday and then you're like, what the heck's going on? Like, why am I up? Like, I wasn't up last Monday. The awareness is key on that, because every day it's seeing. So then maybe on Wednesday you weigh in and you're actually at your lowest because then your body fluctuated down from having that fun weekend. But you wouldn't know that because you didn't track or you didn't weigh yourself in on Wednesday. So weighing in every day is super important, even just for yourself, for that clarity too, to be like, okay, like this is moving, this is working. Your body is going to respond to what you're doing. So if you're not being aware and not like tracking that, you're going to have no idea what the heck's going on.
You're shooting in the dark. You're guessing. Dark. We do not like guessing when it comes to this stuff, because there's people put money into this stuff. They put emotion into it. They're changing their habits. They're to a certain extent, sometimes they're upsetting the lives of their family to make adjustments to this. And so, like, if you're going to do it, take it seriously. The weighing daily does another thing too. You get adjusted to the fact that your body does fluctuate, like mm-hmm. you mentioned. And at first, I think so many people have especially negative reactions to their weight because most people aren't happy with what they weigh. And so if you're having negative emotional reactions to what that scale is, I think the worst thing to say is avoid it or only do it once a week. It's why don't you face your fear dead in the face every single day until it's no longer a fear of yours.
Yep.
And every time, at first, you know, it's very natural for weight to pop up 2 pounds and then pop down 3 pounds. And especially if you're bigger like I am, mm-hmm. like sometimes my weight will fluctuate 5-8 pounds, which is insane to see. And if you're attributing that you are good or bad, or whatever, you're doing a great job or a terrible job at what you're trying to do based on that fluctuation, you're dead in the water. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you can at least even get adjusted to that, that's massive. There was something else with the weight, but I don't remember. What else you got?
Well, I would say too that I guess this is like a little bit pulled away from this, but it's still about the scale. One thing I've learned myself, so me personally, like I've been trying to like go through a calorie deficit myself. And one thing I'm learning is a lot of us, especially us women, I'd say, I'm sure men too, don't get me wrong, but I mean, a lot of us want that toned look we're all looking for. And a lot of women think that toned look is going to be the smallest version of yourself. So like the super low weight that you think you can get to. But a lot of times, those like people you might see on social media or wherever, maybe even in person somewhere, that body that you're looking for actually weighs a lot more than you think in the aspect too.
Definitely.
So like please, I don't want you to think that, oh, I need to like get all the way down to this specific weight because that's what I was in high school. Like, let's be realistic here. Like, you, most of us are well far away from high school and you do not have the same body, right? So like, it's also, I guess what I'm trying to say about the scale point is be seriously honest with yourself and make like a actual, like real goal. Like that's not a real goal to me, is like trying to be the weight that you were in high school. Like I know.
And so, some people do achieve that, but it's, I don't think that most people set out with that in mind, especially if you're like 50 pounds above that. Great. It's a long, great long-term goal. But what's, in your experience, like with our program, what's realistic for a standard size female that's maybe just carrying around 20, 30 extra pounds? What can they lose in a month that's more realistic?
Yeah. I would say like more in a month. So if you're looking for like about a pound a week or even a pound and a half, I would say like 5-6 pounds in a month, maybe, if like really being aggressive on that point. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if you're really dropping more, it could be even closer to the 10 mark, but that depends upon how much they have to lose and where they're moving with that and how consistent.
I think that's totally right. It's like if people are messing around and they're not tracking and they're not weighing daily, like sure, they may get some movement of that like 2 to 4 in a month.
Yeah.
If people are actually on top of their game, then they're definitely getting 5 pounds a month, unless for some reason their numbers are way off or something crazy happens. And the people who are really aggressive with it and are really like focused, I think it's not uncommon that we see 8 and 10 and those are always like our type A most adhering people, but it's definitely not a few amount of people at this point that do that. It's a lot of people.
For sure. Because I think the most for a woman so far in our program was 30 pounds that she lost.
Was that one a 90-day one or were you on the 8 weeks?
That might have been more than the 90-day. But I'm pretty sure for the 8 weeks it was 20.
Women. See, and that's right there. That's 10 pounds over the course of 8 weeks. And so I think a lot of us think of a month more as like 5 weeks too. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm off my soapbox about that whole thing. But we should get into protein.
But, well, real quick, before you move on from that, because you mentioned kind of this concept of especially women really wanting that toned look.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. We won't go too deep on it, just to hit on that, like, we often get people come in and say, I want to lift weights. I want to get stronger. I want to make sure I don't get too bulky. I'd rather be toned.
Yeah.
When you hear that, where's your brain go?
Well, instantly, I honestly, I'm just like, holy crap, that's two different things, right? First of all, let me just break that like stigma, that myth. You are not going to get bulky if you lift weights, okay? Like, you're just not.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of women are like, oh, I'm going to look too manly. No, you won't. And
I've been trying to look too manly for 20 years at this point, right? And it still hasn't happened.
Well, see, exactly.
I've been trying hard.
I've been trying really hard.
I've been trying really hard.
That's just not realistic. And I mean, you have to be on a completely extreme level if you want to even get to, I guess, that point, if you really wanted to be like technical. But I'm not going to get that technical. The toned look, what you need, what that secret is, the toned look is not being skinny. It is having muscle on you and then having less body fat. That's point blank, period. That's what it is. So that's what strength training is going to help you with, is getting that muscle. So you're not going to get bulky, and you have to be open also when you are like strength training as well. Even if you're doing it for the first time, you might gain weight on the scale, but it's not fat. Okay. Like, that's that muscle. It's everything that's building up. Like, you're getting that strength. That's that baseline of getting that tone look, is having less body fat and then getting more muscle on you. No bulkiness.
Yeah. No bulkiness. Yeah. You know, you hit the nail on the head there. You mentioned another thing that's really good, and then we will move on to protein, but that when you first, since we require the people in our program to start training, if they haven't already, they start training that 3 times a week. If you are starting a weight loss journey at the same time as you are starting to strength train, you're going to see some funky things on the scale.
For sure.
One of the adaptations when you start working out again is your body holds on to more water because you're sweating more frequently. It's saying, I'm putting out more water. I need to hold on to more water. Especially when you're strength training, your body starts to store more carbohydrates in your muscles. Your body is acting like it's a sponge now, and it's trying to hold on to things that it thinks are useful for when you go and take your body through those workouts. And so some people, even though they're in a caloric deficit, we'll see the scale pop up initially when they start training, and then they freak out. They're like, I'm doing something wrong. Which brings up another point that we should probably touch on briefly is, yes, you're going to see that. So don't freak out, especially if you're new to training, especially if you, let's say you trained in college, you were a college athlete and you haven't trained for the last 15 years, your body still has that muscle and it still has that memory. As soon as you start training again, your muscles are going to plump up with a bunch of water and carbs, and you're going to see the scale go up, and you just got to let that pass.
Yeah, for sure.
Where was I going with that? There's something else I was about to hit on. Do you remember? I was going down that path.
I'm trying to think of what you were saying with that. Well, I mean, talking about like the beginning of training and I don't know.
That's okay. We can move on to protein. I'm sure I'll think of it as soon as we move on. That's how it always works.
Yeah, that's true. But, okay. Well, how about think about it? I'm going to go into that protein piece.
I'll ponder for a little bit.
So I think back to, I mean, protein and then kind of adding into the tracking point, you'd be very shocked of how probably less like or like a least amount of protein you're getting in, a little amount of protein you're getting in is what I'm trying to say, compared to potentially what the goal is. Because a lot of people will say if you're losing weight, it's usually you're getting in grams per body weight of like your ideal body weight. So like, let's say, for example, I try to hit 140 grams of protein a day. I'm sure a lot of you heard that and were like, holy crap, how do you even do that? Like there's a will, there's a way, and there's a lot of things that you don't realize that you can take in. So let's say for dinner, you usually just have chicken, we'll just say for example, and you're not measuring that out. And so you have no idea exactly the protein you're getting in on that. Importance of that, measuring it out, and then maybe you need to add some more to it. It's gonna be not a whole lot more calories, but it's gonna give you more protein. I'm kind of going right into this, but let me pull back a little bit. So like the protein piece of why we focus on that is because it keeps you satiated, and two, that helps with muscle building, and three, all of that, that's going to help you too even with
what's
your weight loss as
mean?
Well.
Satiating
means like it's going to keep you full longer, okay? Because there's more with protein that keeps you full longer versus like carbs and fats, for example. Yeah.
Your body very
takes
much
longer to burn.
I'm sure we've talked about this, but your body keeps an amino acid pool, it's called. And so if your body is low on protein, especially if you're strength training and you're damaging your muscles and you're asking it to require protein to heal up, the protein in your system is the biggest driver of your hunger. And so if you're low on that, it's going to drive your hunger, but it's not just going to drive it towards protein. It's going to drive it towards everything, right?
Yeah.
And so if you have enough of that, then your hunger cues very much go down, at least comparative to what they can be when you're cutting, which is a lot.
Yeah,
you know,
for
you
sure.
You can be hungry as hell, but at least if you got your protein, maybe you just like be a little uncomfortable instead of hating your life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. And protein helps with muscle recovery too. So sure, you might be sore. Maybe if you're hitting in more protein, you might not be as sore as maybe you usually are when you're not hitting protein intake for sure. But do you want to go on some tips on how to get in protein, or do you want to break it down a little bit more?
Yeah, I think it's really hard to get enough protein in if you don't start your day with that. You should
That's
make it
true.
The first priority of your day, especially since breakfast, unless you're really conscious about eating eggs and meat, it tends to be such a carb-heavy meal, like very much like the donuts and the bananas, and people love grabbing a piece of fruit, and their coffee basically has creamer in it, which is just sugar and fat, and there's not a lot of protein. I definitely recommend if you can get a large chunk of protein first thing in the morning,
you're setting yourself up for success.
Oh, totally. Totally. Because then at the end of the night, if you really want to treat yourself, then you can have the bowl of ice cream or whatever that maybe not be as protein heavy. But, man, you're going to hate your life if you're sitting down for your last meal of the day and you're like, I got to hit my protein. So the only thing I can have is dry chicken breast right now in order to hit those numbers.
And a big bowl of cottage cheese.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing for the protein. And then we're always talking about finding out what you actually like. I think there's a lot of myths out there that you have to eat certain food items if you want to lose weight or you want to get your protein in.
Yeah.
But we don't care how you get these things in. We care about the sheer numbers of what's your total calories and what's your total protein. And so for me, a good example is my wife, Tara, she does not like chicken thighs. There is something about the look of raw chicken thighs that just drives her nuts. I don't know if it's the fat on it. Every once in a while, you might see a vein in there. But she will only eat chicken breast. I personally, if I am forced just to eat chicken breast, I don't like the taste. It's a little bit drier. It's less fatty. It just doesn't taste as good to me. And so even though I can get more protein for the calories from chicken breast, I will always eat chicken thighs because I just like my life better when I do it. And I'm more likely to go into that meal excited to eat it and not avoid it and try to go snack on something else.
Sure. So. Yeah. And that's a really good point, because even when you're in the calorie deficit, so honestly pulling back with that, and then even at the beginning of this, we said like we want you to still eat like what you enjoy, that it just tiering that a little bit. Like for him, okay, well, chicken still has plenty of good protein in it, right? Even yep. chicken thighs versus breasts. So if that's what he chooses to have instead, you can do that. Even with, like, we were talking about coffee, for example, like, you can have the coffee you want. Let's just try to tweak it a little bit. Maybe you change up the creamer. Maybe you go for a sugar-free option to pop in there. Like, whatever it is, like, tweaking it a little bit makes all the difference. Peanut butter, for example. You hear too often that peanut butter is a high-protein option. Well, unfortunately, it's not. That's really more of a fat, which is still good for us. Like, you want to take that in. But if you're looking for a less calorie intake of like peanut butter, you can get like peanut butter powder. That, I promise, that actually is pretty darn good. You mix it with some water and it's half the calories of one serving of regular peanut butter.
Yeah. And that's in, so now we're hitting on basically the third big step. So it's like, we know what our daily caloric need is, and we've calculated that out, and then now we know exactly what's going in our mouth. We're controlling for that. We are weighing every single day. And so the next big step is to eat what you want and then make those adjustments. And this is where I think the body composition program has been so successful, is we do not write a meal plan. I refuse to. One, I used to not do it when I was first working with people because I hated it. Like, I wasn't the person who was gonna eat chicken, rice, and broccoli for every single meal. And so I never told my clients to do that, because if I wasn't doing it and I was getting results, why would I put that evil on them, you know? Yeah. And that does work for some people. If you go to like a bodybuilding coach, for example, they're gonna tell you, you need to eat exactly this at exactly these times, and that's probably gonna work. But what we care about, since we work with general population, is how sustainable is this for you? And so I think one of the biggest things you can do when it comes to weight loss is throw out all your other information about what foods are good for you, what foods are bad for you. This is a superfood, I have to eat this many vegetables. If you actually just care about getting body fat off your body, then you should only care about the total calories and the protein. And the only way you're gonna do that consistently over time is if you eat the things that you actually want to eat. And sure, you're gonna have to make some sacrifices and you're gonna have to make some adjustments. But basically, we give people their calories, their protein, and we say, go eat like you normally would and see where you end up. Mm-hmm. And then it's the pain of seeing you miss the, or you seeing yourself miss the mark, and then having to come back and say, like, okay, this clearly doesn't have enough protein. Like, what's a good example? I'm trying to think of like a something. Like you said, peanut butter. Yeah, peanut butter is so you're like, oh, I thought peanut butter was really high protein, but clearly it's just giving me a ton of calories and only a little bit of protein. All right, well, I guess I can't eat peanut butter. That's just not working for my goals now. What am I going to substitute? And if you're like me and you don't like chicken breast, don't put in chicken breast.
Yeah.
You know, find something that, like, if you like sausage, eat sausage instead, you know?
For sure. And actually, a quick little tip on protein that I discovered. Let's say that you look at a nutrition label, and specifically of peanut butter, I can think about the one I have at home right now, is 180 calories for 2 tablespoons. And the protein is 7 grams of protein for 180 calories. If you add a zero to the protein, so that would be 70 grams of protein, let's just say, for 180 calories, 70 is lower than 180. So that equals that it's not high in protein. So if you have the protein, if you add a zero to it and it's higher than the calorie option, or not the calorie option, the calories, that's actually high protein. So if you have like a protein shake that's 100 calories and the grams is of protein is 20, if you add a zero, that's 200 for 100, that's high protein. So think about that when you go to the store too, because that's super helpful for me to look at for labels to be like, is this
really
actually
fast.
High protein? Yeah, because you see so many things on the market like high protein granola, high protein whatever. 9 times out of 10, it's not high protein, but how would you know that? Because they market it for that. You think,
they
call
it the protein version. It's like, it's a protein cookie. Yeah, because the original cookie had 0 grams of protein. And this one has two.
Two.
So yes,
boom.
It's the protein plus cookie,
Yeah.
But still, not worth your calories most of the time.
For sure. So utilize that, adding a zero after the protein to see if how it equals out to the calories.
That'd be so useful at a restaurant too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like if you had to make, if the menu had, in a perfect world where all the menus had
calories.
The calories and the protein, but let's say you even go to like a, what they do that like a Tokyo Joe's, right?
I don't know.
You ever been to
a
Tokyo Joe's?
No.
It's like
a lot of rice,
protein. It's a good place for getting high protein
stuff.
Okay. At least there was a bunch of them in Colorado. But if you go somewhere where they have the protein and the calories, you can just really double check that really quickly.
For sure.
So,
yeah.
And we'll have to post. You have a video about this, so we'll have to post that too. But just like bringing that back around, because we are almost done with this. Like here were the steps so far. We calculated what our body needs on a daily basis, which basically we can't control what that calculation is. The only thing we can control is how much we work out, how much muscle mass we have on our body, but that takes a long time.
Yes.
So we know that number. Then we figured out what our deficit is off of that, so we know how much we should try to eat every single day, and we know how much protein we should try to eat every day. Then we eat normally, and we start making adjustments until we actually are eating foods that we enjoy, at least semi-enjoy. It might not be our perfect world, that hit our protein goal and that hit our calorie goal. And then what?
Weighing in every day.
Weighing in every day.
Having so that awareness
all
piece.
That, mm-hmm. Then what?
Honestly, the last icing on the cake, we'll say, since you brought up cake earlier, is going to be your patience and consistency. Okay? Nick always tells a story that I love, that he worked with a woman that for like 2 weeks, she was just plateaued and her weight did not move.
Every 2 weeks it was.
Okay, actually, it's your story. You should share the story.
So I worked with...
Because it's a good point.
This was a younger female. She was about 18, I think, at the time, maybe 17. But she was about to go into the Navy, and she was fairly overweight at the time. And, like, just awesome girl. Super smart and everything. She was going to go in for, like, nuclear something, you know?
Jeez, that's
and,
cool. Okay.
But she had to take care of her weight, or she was worried she wasn't going to pass the physical demands. And so when she got into her deficit, she was very meticulous. I knew that she was tracking everything appropriately. I knew that we were in the right zone. But for 10 days to 2 weeks at a time, her weight would just stay flat, complete plateau. And I just kept telling her, like, just stay with it. Just stay with it. This is actually what I forgot to say earlier. Is what I want to talk about.
Here we go. We brought it back.
If you don't see your weight change... We always give it 10 to 14 days before we make a harsh decision to change something else, because if you start moving all your metrics around too fast, then you're in another guessing game. And so 10 days to 14 days, 10 days to 2 weeks, you can see a plateau, and then what likely happens is you all of a sudden see a drop. And for all we can figure, this is just how some people's bodies process the weight loss process. So she would go 10 days to 14 days, no weight loss, boom, drop 5 pounds. Then she would do it again. Boom, drop 5 pounds. And over the course of time, it looked like she just lost a bunch of weight linearly. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it was a lot of her looking at the scale and not seeing movement. And that can be hard.
Yes.
Your body might do that to you, and you have to be prepared for it.
And that's where that consistency and patience comes in, because you could easily just throw the towel in, and that next day would have been the day that you would have dropped that down that 5 pounds or whatever it might be. So it's hard, and that's, if it was easy, everyone would do it, right? So that's where you need to be persevere through it, because it's the name of the game.
Yep. This stuff should be simple, guys, and unfortunately, we have a world out there that incentivizes making nutrition more complex so that you feel as though they know something you don't, mm-hmm. So that you will go with them to lose weight, but it's as simple as what we said. If you know what your body needs and you eat a little bit under that, you hit your protein so you don't hate your life and are hungry all the time, you weigh yourself daily and you just be consistent and patient, you will get where you want to go. Mm-hmm. I think the last piece of that we haven't mentioned is we realize that most people these days, especially with all the information that's out there, they actually know how to lose weight. What we really describe there is move more, eat less. And I know everybody hates that phrase, but move more, eat less. And yes, that's how you're going to lose weight. And everybody knows that at this point.
Yeah.
But the hard part is the accountability. It's mm-hmm. the adherence to it. Just because we know it doesn't mean we do it. And that's why it's important that we have power in numbers. And that's exactly what we started the body composition program for. So...
Absolutely.
Anything else? What else should we probably have talked long enough.
I think we probably hit the head on a lot of this. Honestly, guys, if you have any questions on any of this, like, let us know. You can comment in any of this. You can reach out to us on via Instagram.
Yeah, where can they find you?
You can find me at Matraca Fit on Instagram, MatracaFit.
Nice. FIT. You can find me on Instagram at Nick, NICK, double underscore, so underscore, underscore,
fancy.
Byom, BYOM. Everything for our business, Strength Academy here in River Falls, you can find our homepage for our Instagram at Strength Academy RF. But definitely recommend, you'll find this on YouTube, Spotify. Strength Academy 101 is the podcast. At Strength Academy 101 is where we are at on YouTube. I believe that's what it is on TikTok. Anything else I'm missing, Stet? It's pretty much the basics. Yeah.
Perfect. But seriously, hit us up with any questions, any thing you got for this weight loss stuff, because this is what we love to talk about. So
yeah. We want you guys to get the results you want, whether that's with us or you do that stuff on your own. So anything that we can answer question-wise, we would love to answer questions. So if you're listening to this and you have a question, if you know us personally, like send it on over. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you're like watching this on YouTube or something, just drop a comment and we'll make sure that we address it in our next podcast.
And know that we're rooting for you.
Hell yeah. That was a good little point at the end. All right. That's all she wrote. Peace out.